We're live.
All right. We're live. And welcome to we're just calling it Spirit of Satoshi to kind of get started with, but me and Tomer have been having these conversations for a couple months now, and we just thought that doing like a podcast kind of talking about our deeper spirit towards Satoshi and sort of how that's changed us and what it means, and wanted to kind of talk about it and publish a podcast. So we were just having a discussion about how Bitcoin's really changed us as people. And for me personally, you know, like I've been doing this for more than a decade now, which is wild when I think about it. And I've helped build Coinbase, helped build Unchained Capital, you know, publish my book, Crypto Sovereignty. And in all honesty, like Bitcoin's been a profound and impactful change for me, not because of the money or what it represents, but because it's given me real purpose in the world. And that spirit that Satoshi represents in the way that he gifted this incredible gift to humanity that seems to actually have the real potential to change the trajectory of all of humanity for what it means, not only to have free money, but also to have self-sovereignty through cryptography is really powerful and important. And so me and Tomer are just talking about how it's pretty hard actually becoming a Bitcoiner, because you find that there's a lot of people in your lives who don't understand you. And so for me personally, even though I've been doing this for a decade, like my parents don't understand at all what I'm doing, and usually are actually just pretty concerned about me and think that I have kind of lost my mind, which there's something to be said with that. But the other one is like the conversations I have with Tomer and with all sorts of different Bitcoin friends that we've made over the last 5 years have been profoundly impactful. And in all honesty, it's like where I feel the most driven and on purpose and where I'm the most lit up in the world. And it's also terrifying because like there's this whole old version of me and all of my old friends and family and people who don't really understand this. And it's not to say that they're not happy for me, but they don't understand the deeper calling. And so I know Tomer's had very similar experiences with what it means to sort of be touched by the spirit of Satoshi and how that transforms your life and the very real difficulties that there has. Like I'm a woo-woo West Coast California guy, grew up in California. You know, like this is more normalized for me. Whereas I think Tomer, you might come from, I don't want to necessarily say a more conservative culture, but
I think it's different fair. Perspectives. Yeah, like for me, I don't know exactly what my calling was because I couldn't put words to it when I was a child. Although I feel like now I'm rediscovering a lot of that. But yeah, I grew up in a pretty formal, traditional set of choices. I went to university. I did a bachelor's degree. I did a master's degree in business. I went and got business jobs. I tried to apply the learning that I got while I was in business school through my career. And so I was a very strong believer in democracies, in the institutions of our Western civilization. And I lived a life aligned with that, including all the frivolous expenditures of the fiat world, like trying to make fiat money, trying to climb a corporate ladder, believing that that was the right thing to do and the best thing to do. And then finding that that system was falling apart and was betraying me and wasn't delivering what I found. And at the same time, discovering Bitcoin and its story and what it unleashed, and other Bitcoiners, as you say, people who helped me understand what the alternative was, and that the alternative did make sense. And that although it would seem crazy to Fiat Tomer, the actions and beliefs of Bitcoin Tomer, that they weren't insane, that they're actually, that the insanity was in the fiat world, that there were all these logical inconsistencies and corruptions and breakdowns in that world. And being able to let them go and find a substitute, not just leave it in a void of nihilism and say, well, the whole system's wrecked, there's nothing to live for, right? Like we've all of these 2000 years of civilizational progress towards Western liberal democracies, and those things are failing before us, and the corporations are corrupt, and the incentives are all corrupt. If I hadn't found Bitcoin, I don't know what I would have done. I know I was already depressed leading into my discovery of Bitcoin, so I probably would have just stayed in a depressed state for however long I could have tolerated and survived that. But there was no going back for me. And I think what the spirit of this whole movement is no, you can bring back rationality, you can bring back sanity, and you can protect sanity and truth. But it means rediscovering or discovering for the first time a lot of ideas that simply aren't present, aren't discussed, aren't taught, or their exact opposites are what's accepted as normal in the fiat world, in the overwhelming majority of people world. So, you know, there's this notion of insanity being a different set of ideas than what everybody else has, not necessarily right or wrong. And in that definition, yeah, I think we're insane, but that doesn't mean we're wrong, right? Actually have a rational view.
I like, and while us Bitcoiners, we kind of beat this dead horse a lot, I do like the idea of calling ourselves, like, you know, old me is fiat Eric. And I think that's important sort of in light of what fiat means in its true Latin of that it is let it be done. You know, it's a form of authoritarianism where I think a lot of us are taught that there's a particular way and form of life that we're supposed to have that, frankly, is actually untethered from truth. It's just a authoritarian form that we're given, that go to school, you get a job, you get married, you watch sports ball, you retire, you put money in your 401k, you die. And the truth is that world is deeply authoritarianism and is divorced from truth in a way of that when you actually look at what's going on, there's a deep spiritual crisis of suffering that people absolutely are yearning for, trying to find what is true and good in this world. And many of us who have found Bitcoin have actually found that the process of moving from authority, not truth, creates legitimacy. We're inverting that, and we're realizing that truth, not authority, creates legitimacy. And that's what we're building with Bitcoin together. And that legitimacy comes through us too. And that transformation is, frankly, really difficult. And it involves a dark night of the soul and going in through the nihilism and realizing that there is this gem of hope and light that we can follow. And for Bitcoiners who have pursued that, myself included, it's a deeply transformational process that I reflect on, I mean, really the last decade of my life, it's truly transformed me, and it's continuing to transform me in ways that intimidate me. But through the love and inspiration that I get from this community of people, I really want to strive for that, because what we're building is profound.
Yeah, I want to elaborate on it and add to it. I see a lot of people who are essentially unhappy, dissatisfied with their state of affairs, and the younger, the more likely they are to be dissatisfied, because as the situation gets worse and worse with the fiat world, the less time you've had in the world before the situation got worse, the worse off you are. Right? Like a baby boomer already has a house and a retirement fund. Someone just getting married now or in that young age doesn't have those things. So they're dissatisfied and they're looking, you use the word to move, and there's nowhere physically to move, right? Like maybe El Salvador to some extent, but you have to make a life in a country that doesn't quite have the infrastructure that you may be used to. So there's nowhere physically to move. And I've seen lots of people, I'm in Canada, I saw a lot of people leave Canada when the vaccine mandates came in, and then they came back, and then they left again, and then they're coming back again. It's hard to find a physical place to move to, but you can find escape to freedom and self-determination through cyberspace. I mean, it's not in a physical location. It's protecting yourself and defending yourself with the shield that is in cyberspace, which is Bitcoin. And becoming free, you know, there's lots of stories of people who were imprisoned or in prison states and got out and then wanted to go back in because they weren't able to adapt. They weren't able to enjoy their freedom. They had let go of the responsibility and the enjoyment of the responsibility of finding freedom. But for many of us, it is this hard work of discovering, well, what does it mean to be free? What does it mean to set my own course of direction in life? What does it mean for me to not have somebody tell me what to do from 9 to 5 and then from 5 till bedtime when I get home, but to explore it? And it's this wonderful opportunity but it comes with its challenges because it is a blank slate. There isn't a textbook of how to live your life in a sovereign manner. You have to look within, find out what truly is your passion, what truly drives you, and find a way to make that work for you, find a way to become that. I think this is the transformation that many of us go through when we discover Bitcoin and really fall deep down the rabbit hole, is I'm finding who I truly am. I wasn't really me. I was in the matrix. I was controlled by the matrix. I was choosing to comply with the rules of the matrix. And now you're free. And that comes with a lot of responsibility, including what do I do with my time and how do I choose what it is that I do? But I think it's a kind of freedom that existed a long time, not even that long ago, but hasn't existed in a few lifetimes probably. And so it's largely been forgotten. And so that era of, like, if you think of the Wild West, just so many characters of such, each of them totally unique, right? Each of them totally themselves, rough around the edges, not polished, not all alike, right? That was what was born when people left a highly rigid civilization in Europe to one that was much more fluid and flowing and less ruled by rules, much more anarchistic, right?
And what's so fascinating about that is once you've kind of abandoned fiat you, there's now this kind of clean slate where now it's about proof of work, and it's truly becoming who you are and challenging yourself to do that work. And I remember the first time I met Gigi in person, almost immediately when we started talking, I'd pointed out to him, I was like, look, like, we've both been involved in this for many years, and we could probably just abandon any of the work here and go live our own personal quiet lives and deeply enjoy it. And I was like, but we're not. And like, why?
Yeah.
And it was interesting because we both sort of came to the conclusion that we're both so inspired that, like, we feel a true calling to actually start building and participating here in a meaningful way because of what it means. Mm-hmm. And my truth is that, like, me trying to get all of fiat Eric off of me has been a really, really difficult and tumultuous process that I'm still going through. But each time that I come back to, like, last night, I had a conversation with Max Hillbrand, and it was really powerful because it reminded me that what we're doing here is really meaningful. And, like, these are the tools that future and posterity are going to use to protect themselves and keep themselves self-sovereign. And that we're actually at a place where we're winning now. Like, the advancements that have happened in cryptography and Bitcoin with Nostr and the whole expansion of the ecosystem is so powerful. And to me now, like, with what you're saying about, you know, sort of leaving the rigid European culture for the West, is that, like, there's a true digital manifest destiny that involves what I feel to be Americanism, but I feel like it's this sort of Western ideal that our forebears had when they came to, you know, whether it was Canada, the United States, or anywhere out West, that there's now this new territory of freedom for us to colonize in a meaningful way. And in crypto sovereignty, sort of my opening paragraph is from Satoshi, where he points out that, you know, there's an opportunity to win a new territory of freedom here, which I think we've done. And now that that territory of freedom has been colonized in a way, it's time to start expanding that manifest destiny in a meaningful way. And more and more we're finding Bitcoiners, they're not here for number go up. They're here for the very real spirit that Satoshi has imbued in Bitcoin and what it means to try to free ourselves from the nihilism of fiat. And the fact that we're on the precipice of an American election where everyone's like, this is the most important election that'll ever happen. And I just had a big long post on Nostr where I said, look, I'm not voting because this is fucking bullshit. It doesn't matter who is elected. The budget's completely out of control. Endless wars will continue to be fought, and large weapons manufacturers and corporations will continue to get paid no matter if it's red or blue. And if we really want to talk about making a difference in our political process and accessing the political once again, which is the true transformational engine of what human ingenuity and communal integration means, Bitcoin is going to have a huge role in that. Not because of what Bitcoin is, but because of what it represents and the true freedom of freeing ourselves and giving ourselves self-sovereignty. And one of the things I love the most about Bitcoin is even people I despise and hate in that I don't want them to have Bitcoin, they have the rights to Bitcoin and the ability to use the cryptography within it just as much as I do. And to me, getting that equal footing for everyone everywhere is the most meaningful thing that we can have in a world that's been taken over by fiat money and all of the interests that that represents. And it's truly a profound spiritual mission at its core. And I get this all sounds fucking crazy to most people, but I've now met hundreds of people that have been touched in this way. And it's really profound.
I think the message to anyone who's listening to this and thinks, boy, these guys are crazy, or they seem a little crazy, but a little bit intriguing, is you're falling down the rabbit hole and you're going to end up where we are, but don't be afraid. Like the gravitational, Bitcoin is attracting more people at an accelerating rate, and it's attracting them at a quicker rate. So the learning curve that took 7 years of time when you and I were first getting involved in Bitcoin can now be experienced, not at the snap of fingers, but in a year, perhaps, maybe 2 years. And so it's something like a planet forming or a star forming, where it gets its critical mass of gravity, and then it starts pulling in more and more matter more and more quickly towards the core. And I think this is what's happening in Bitcoin. It's like when you come in, you're still fiat. You hear about Bitcoin, you hear about number go up, you hear it's a way to get fiat rich quick. You see these numbers, and that's what attracts many people. But then the transformative fusion process starts to take place when you're experiencing its gravity, and you start to appreciate the distinction between hard money and soft money, real money, truthful money, and fake counterfeit money. And then you start to experience the difference between other true things and phony things. And you start to be drawn towards not coming up with fun arguments that justify crazy ideas that aren't grounded in reality, but you start querying what is reality. And everything starts to break. What is real education? What is real nutrition? What is real health? What is real community? What is real friendship? What is real love? And this is the black hole that you're being pulled towards, and it's changing you. You start to change in the process. You become a person interested in and able to find and discover the truth. And it's scary at times, because the truth is a lot scarier than the lies that we're told quite often. Like, the truth is there's a big problem, rather than don't worry, government will take care of it. It just is one example. But as you go through this process, it does get terrifying, but you become transformed into something that's more powerful, more useful for yourself, more useful for other people. Not that you become a tool to be used by them, but you create utility in producing things that are connected to truth rather than in producing lies. And that's kind of the catch, right? Bitcoin orbits in this. Bitcoin is right in the center of this thing, kind of the unmoving thing. And there's all this bullshit orbiting around it, masquerading as Bitcoin, right? All the cryptocurrencies, all the altcoins, which aren't rooted in truth. They're rooted in, we want to get rich quick and get out quick, right? And rather than we want to get truthful and honest, and we want to get real. Like, there's that expression, get real, which comes from the fiat world. Like, stop bullshitting me. And Bitcoin is like the extremity of getting real. Like, let's create money that's real. Let's create a civilization that's real. Let's understand what the truth really is around anything and everything. And it's hard to get, like, the truth isn't automatic, right? The truth has to be discovered through hard work. So you may discover that something's bullshit, and that's a truth, like, that you can reject it, but that doesn't immediately, you find out that Donald Trump's a liar. That doesn't mean Kamala Harris is perfect and good. She's a liar too, and stupid to boot, right? So, like, how do you find the truth? And you end up discovering, well, as an example, this whole democratic system is broken, right? We need a different system of rules than powerful people who raise fiat money so they can print more fiat money and reward the people who gave them the fiat money in the first place with more fiat money. Like, that's a really badly broken system that continues to get worse. I feel like you want to jump in. So.
Well, I really like this idea of Bitcoin, sort of this black hole. And like, as you're converting and shedding yourself of fiat you, it's interesting because there's a point where you sort of cross the event horizon and that, like, finally sheds all of it. Yeah. And what's also interesting is, like, you can't go back. I don't know anybody that's actually became a Bitcoiner and, like, exited from the black hole. Right. And that process becomes now you're aligned with truth in a meaningful way that you understand, very similar to Bitcoin, that pursuing truth is about this proof of work where there's an actual chain of logic and events that needs to be followed all the way through. Mm-hmm. And you start to see that in food, in health, in politics, in economics, and really everywhere. And it's a profound realignment that it's pretty terrifying. And I think some people do exit before they cross the event horizon, but it's really meaningful and powerful if you allow for yourself to pass that event horizon. And like, the existential terror is very real. And I don't want to lie and say that there's been many times I've been deeply intimidated.
Yeah, that's a big part of the message, right? Like, if you're someone who's still outside the event horizon and you're being drawn in and you're scared and you don't know whether to run away or to jump or to leap in, right, to surrender and let and become, there is a point of no return once you cross that, and you kind of know it because you think about returning and you say, well, I'd never return, there's really no way for me. But when you consider the people who've looked at Bitcoin and then run away from it, we tend to call those people, suggest that they suffer from something called Bitcoin derangement syndrome, and this is that hatred that they would have for Bitcoin, and it ends up being attached to this hatred for some of the truths that Bitcoin reveals, right? It reveals that the institutions that pay them are corrupt, are making their money in an honest way, are cheating, are lying, whatever. And whether it's Nassim Taleb or Peter Zeihan or Peter Schiff, any of these people who are just so committed to their outside view, and they become so ridiculous in their objections to Bitcoin that they can be labeled deranged by people who see what's there. The message I would give to people who find themselves afraid is, it is scary, but it's far better than going insane and losing your mind. And the reward is not just comfort and wealth. It might not even be comfort, but it's stability and sanity, right? And discovering your true self, the ability to create an independence for yourself, which is what your purpose is, right? Your purpose is to be you. And you can fulfill your purpose if you surrender into yourself and the truth. And you create a complete fake version of yourself if you live in a fake world ruled by fake things. You may prove to yourself that you can succeed in a world of lies, but is that who you want to be? And is that what you were really born to do? Like, no, you were born to discover your own personal talents, your own personal passions, and execute those perfectly well. So unless you're passion is lying and deceit, Bitcoin is for you.
Well, and I'd also point out that, like, Bitcoin doesn't resolve you, one, having negative cash flow. Like, you need to have your shit together enough that, like, you can actually save money. And, like, what's great now is, like, there's a hard money that when you save it over time, like, it should actually be savings. It shouldn't be an evaporating medium of exchange like fiat money is. One of the things I think is pretty profound is when I read Keynes' treatise on economics, like he literally says in one of the chapters, he said, why would anyone ever want to save in fiat money? Like, it's like a barren husk of savings. Like, you'd have to be a crazy person to do that. And, like, that's the world that we live in today. And it's really tragic and sad because people are in this sort of paranoid schizophrenia where, like, you have to save as much fiat money as you can. You have to play the tax game. You have to use your 401k shell account. Like, you have to do all of this crazy shit just to tread water. And Bitcoin sort of cuts this Gordian knot and says, how about we just have a money that isn't inflationary forever, that doesn't have a denominator. And through that, by and of itself, we can have a true mode of savings once again. And, like, realigning towards that is really powerful. And again, like, this doesn't mean that the volatility isn't a very real thing. And if you're mismanaging your cash flow and runway, like, yeah, like, you can absolutely chop your hands off. And I think what's Knut Swanhold shared with me, that he was at the conference with whatever that Hex piece of shit guy is named.
Richard Hart.
Fuckface or whatever. Yeah. Richard Shithead. So anyway, like, the dude lost a shitload of Bitcoin leverage trading, and Knut talked about how, like, he saw this moment where he was, like, essentially he was lamenting about, like, why do all these shitcoiners get to go get rich? And, like, I get fucked over on leveraged Bitcoin trading. And And Canute like sort of casually was like, well, you could like go be a shit coiner. And he was like, yeah, I could go be a shit coiner. And like, thus is the birth of Richard Brokenheart. You know, and like, look at where this guy is now. He's totally fucked. The SEC is after him. Like he, like if that motherfucker gets caught in the United States, he is absolutely going to prison. And like, that's tragic. Cause at one point in time, he was an actual Bitcoiner that was saying powerful and intelligent stuff. And don't get me wrong. He is a very smart man. And he is very, his debate style is very surgical. And so like, I have a lot of respect for his intelligence, but I also think like he's a real scummy guy that frankly has a lot of nihilistic contempt for other human beings, which I do understand to some level, but that's part of the Bitcoin derangement syndrome that happens is like, and I guess this is my warning is that, and this is one of the things I always tell people, like, you're not a fucking trader. Like there are people with way more money who are way smarter that look at all these charts and do way better at it with you. And so like, if you want to play with your money that way, it is fucking gambling and you're welcome to do that, but you will chop some fingers off. And for me personally, like I did a lot of trading more than a decade ago and I definitely slammed my dick in the door hard a couple every times time. And I lost more Bitcoin than I'd like to admit. And that was my lesson was you put money away and save. And you keep saving it. And when you hit the price point where you can cash out to get yourself something nice, you do. But outside of that, it is money that you set aside for the future. It's going to go up. It's going to go down. But at some point, it's going to fucking rip hard, like how we've been experiencing over the last few days. And when you get those gains and it now means something meaningful for you, you can hit escape velocity. And for me, one of the things that I didn't realize for myself was, for me, Bitcoin originally was like, I just wanted to liberate myself from the concentration camps of modernity where we're forced to work 9 to 5s doing shitty jobs that we fucking hate. And when I hit escape velocity and I exited, I remember leaving the camps being like, fuck yeah, like I'm out. And I was like running away. And then I like stopped and I like looked back and I was like, oh, fuck. Like everyone else is still trapped in there. Like what can I do? And I realized for myself, like my mission is to show people that there is an exit from this form of life that has been forced onto us. Like none of us made the agreement that we were going to go to public schools and do the bullshit there and then go to university and get our degree and then get the 9-to-5 job and the corporate job and the 401k. All this shit was bullshit that was forced onto us that we were told is the right way to live. And if we do those things, that we'll be happy. Mm-hmm. And then what I see is people that did all that stuff right, they find themselves in such a deep nihilism and hatred for themselves because they've never been empowered about their own life. And one of the coolest things that I've seen in Bitcoin is that when people get this little bit of savings that then becomes something meaningful for them, they can then go start their own business and actually pursue what their real purpose is. And I remember it must have been 2 or 3 years ago now, I met this a younger brother and sister, and they had saved in Bitcoin. We had popped in a bubble, they cashed out, and they went and started their own bodywork business that they were really inspired by. And to me, like that's the real purpose of Bitcoin. It's not to make you rich. It's not to give you all the fiat money you want. It's to give you enough savings and security that you can then have the esteem in yourself to go, wow, like I this is the thing that calls to me that I want to go do. And this is why I wrote my book. These were all just fucking crazy ass essays that I wrote for myself to try to figure out some of this Bitcoin stuff. And after I published enough of them, people were like, this is great. You should do something more. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going to make a book. And then I published that book. I've sold thousands of copies now. And everywhere that I've traveled to throughout the world, I've had people pull me aside and say, hey, thank you so much for publishing that. It was really profound. It really moved me in a meaningful way. And for me, getting those reflections, it allows for me to lean into the fear. And I want to be very clear, like I'm kind of an anxious person and that like I feel afraid a lot. But what's different now is that instead of allowing that fear to control me, I feel so inspired by others and the way that they show me what they're doing that I can actually be courageous enough to say, yeah, you know what? I'm afraid to speak my truth. But what I'm more afraid of is being illegitimate, not being the truest self of who I can be, which is really what Bitcoin has taught me, is to ask myself to be courageous and to stand up and speak my truth.
Right.
And the ancients, the Greeks had a word for this called parrhesia, and it translates as truth speaking, but it literally translates to stand firmly upright in the way that when people would speak in the polis. They would actually have to stand firmly and upright and then speak their truth. And there was a real risk in that, because if you spoke in a thoughtless and meaningless way in the polis, you could get dejected and have ostracism, you know, literally have you throw you out of the city state. And I think this is where we're at, is the truth is look at how fucked this all is. Like, it's incredible to me that like the American election is going on, and this election matters so much more even to you, Tomer, than like your own Canadian shekel election that, you know, I don't even, is Pierre the guy that'll run against Trudeau in like 2036 after his numerous dictatorships? Or
we'll see. That's that certainly seems to be the pattern right now. But yeah, it's all become so terribly, terribly ridiculous. I don't know if you want to finish the thought, but
the only thing I want to finish on is like, this is why we need Bitcoin. Is like, we will not elect our way out of this. We will not create legislation that changes this. Like, this system is totally fucked. And that post I had on Nostr pointed out is like, look, I don't want to say I don't believe in democracy or the ability of self-governance. It's that like this thing, this state-based voting where we are all sort of put into these containers where like you and me will never get to vote on anything together in any meaningful way that creates change, despite the fact that we share in a very real economy and a life together. Yeah. But and because of the way that random borders were created by old men hundreds of years ago, we don't have any democratic process that's meaningful to either of us.
Yeah.
Except for Bitcoin. That is the one place that true democracy works.
Yeah. And you know, again, maybe the word democracy is not the right word, where true freedom and consensus build and the things we agree on, we can agree on. The things we disagree on, we can leave each other in peace about, right? We don't have to force our views on other people with everything, which is the problem that we have with democracy today. Everything is, there's one right and one wrong. People don't agree on what the one right and what wrong is. So they go to war through democracy over it. And it is a use of quiet violence, right? We use taxation and wealth redistribution, which is seizure by force of wealth and redistribution of it by force against one another, right? So, you know, I don't go and steal your money. Instead, I have the government to steal your money and give it to me and through my vote. So we have a really broken system because the government has gotten its way into everything, and democracy, which itself isn't really majority rule either, not that that would be any better, is broken in that everyone's voting. Everyone presumes the government has the right and the authority to intervene in any aspect of anybody else's life, rather than the view is government can defend the nation, they can enforce sensible laws to protect and preserve people's rights, and they can adjudicate disputes in courts. No, it's like, and they need to provide education, and they need to provide healthcare, and they need to tell the healthcare providers and the education providers exactly what education and healthcare to provide and how to provide it in these manuals and bureaucratic red tape and all this stuff. So we're just living in a really messy situation, and there's no solution to the system from within the system. It's everyone keeps hoping that the next guy they vote in will be the benevolent, omnipotent, omniscient leader. And the truth is, we don't need leaders, like individual leaders, to guide every aspect of our lives. We need to take responsibility for our own lives and for what we're going to provide to other people and what we're going to choose that other people offer to provide to us individually. And we have to make those choices, and we can't force those choices or let those choices be forced upon us and expect to have those be good choices, right? Like, using force denies the other person's free will, and letting yourself be forced denies your free will. And it only ends up with, you know, with situations get ever worse and worse. So this is the wake up call that we experience when we go through that Bitcoin transformation. It's like, I need to be responsible for my own self. I need to understand enough about what's going on that I can make the right choices of what to consume, when to consume, what not to consume, and with whom to interact, and how to build relationships with other people, rather than just presume that everyone will be good or presume that everyone will be evil. There's a lot of variety out there. There's a lot of diversity out there, and we need to create more of it rather than smooth everything out, decree everything, and try to create a homogenous human being, a homogenous civilization, a homogenous education, a homogenous approach to healthcare. Like, we're all different and unique. and we have to accept that we are, and then take responsibility for executing on our uniqueness, discovering it,
absolutely,
exploiting it, and being it, right? Like, and just being happy with it is so much of this. So it's a really big topic, right? And it comes from, politics gets involved in it, personal awareness gets involved in it, understanding the truth, study philosophy. I did want to go back to one thing you said, which is, you know, you wrote your book. I want to comment on your book, and I want to comment on why I wrote, like, you said you wrote your book to help you process what you were thinking about Bitcoin for yourself. And when I read your articles, especially in that book, I get moved to seriousness very, very quickly. Like, I realized you're talking about profound topics and treating them profoundly. You're not making light of them. You're taking them very seriously, and they hit right, you know, right in the soul. They hit really deep. So I definitely recommend to people to get your book, read an article or two from it, and see how it awakens within them the seriousness of how important their life is to them. And to
me, like, this is truly what the political is everything that you're talking about. It, you know, it's about the food, it's about the education, it's about the politics, it's about the entire forms of life that we have that, frankly, we have very childishly and thoughtlessly relegated away towards politicians. Yes. Who have proven themselves to be liars and sycophants, that they will lie to us and people will believe this shit. And look, like, I pray to fucking God that Trump gets elected and that he pardons Ross, because that poor man has suffered tremendously, and he has done more to help compel and develop Bitcoin than very few others have done. And I pray to God that happens. But yeah. With that being said, I'm not going to trust a politician in doing this. And also, like, I'm not going to sacrifice myself ethically, because to me, this is about ethics of that, like, fuck this system. Like, they steal our money and they use it to fucking kill other people. And I have spent years of my life traveling around the globe and going to war-torn countries that my country bombed the absolute fucking shit out of, killed entire families and left children maimed without any fucking limbs. And I have a direct relationship with that. And as much as I try to excuse any amount of, well, we get roads and education, and it's bullshit. And I refuse to continue to participate in it.
Yeah. The problem is everything's offered to you as a package deal. You can't choose. I want the roads, but not the bombing overseas. It's like, it's one package deal. And I think that's, again, a big part of the problem. Like, we need to separate all these things out. We shouldn't have the government provide every one of these things. They should provide for the national defense. They should do so rationally rather than empiristically, right? But they shouldn't be providing roads and education and healthcare and, oh my God, like, every single thing that we do, right? Directions on regulation of what fabrics can be used in making clothing. And like, there's nowhere that you can turn nowadays and not have dozens of regulatory agencies restricting and controlling the actions of the people providing that service to you, and also expecting the people providing that service to you to report back to the regulatory agencies about what you've been doing as well. Like, we're all spying on each other and reporting on each other. And it's,
well, it's like one of the things that strikes me is, like, look, like, the American federal government's completely out of control and is absolutely fucking rogue at this point in time. And it's fucking insane that people think we're supposed to tolerate this. And as an American, look, like, there is a 10th Amendment that explicitly says any power not enumerated to the federal government in the Constitution directly belongs to the states. And ever since the American Civil War, that has just been thoroughly fucking tarnished. And I think it's time that states stand up right and say the federal government's out of fucking control. They use their money to widen and deepen the deep state more than it already is. And frankly, with where technology is at, we're at a real fucking crisis point where they are going to issue central bank digital currencies that are going to be used to surveil everything financially. And there is not going to be a fucking exit for anybody unless you have something like Bitcoin. And even more importantly is, like, they're going to try they're trying their best to compromise Bitcoin as being financialized Bitcoin, as big banker Bitcoin, as ETF Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And that is fucking Bitcoin.
This to me is the most important message to give out to people right now, because I think, as I was saying before, there's more and more people attracted to Bitcoin right now coming to it. They're buying it through ETFs, which means they're not really buying it, but they're buying a financialized proxy for it, or they're gambling on MicroStrategy to make them rich quick because they think something's happening there, or they are buying some Bitcoin, but they're viewing it as a financial thing and compartmentalizing it from the rest of their lives. And Bitcoin is only going to be a good financial investment if Bitcoin is a sound revolutionary approach, right? A peaceful revolution, but a revolution nonetheless, a change in how much totalitarianism we're experiencing right now. And that's what if I'm speaking to people who still view Bitcoin as this get rich quick thing, it's like it offers you so much more, and something that's so much more important, because getting rich quick or getting rich in a system that's corrupt and evil is going to eventually break your soul. It'll either turn on you and betray you, or put you in a position where you have to turn on good people and betray them, put you in that Richard Hart circumstance. And the choices aren't binary. You don't have to either be a victim or victimize others. You can live a peaceful, productive, loving life where people aren't your enemies, right? They're not trying to betray you and victimize you, and you're not trying to betray them and victimize them. And that's the real treasure of what Bitcoin offers from a civilizational, organizational perspective.
And anybody who's listening, if you have an opportunity to read...
Yeah, sorry.
I just wanted to plug your Satoshi Nakamoto's treasure. That article is really profound, and I hope people get a chance to read it. And I also just want to say, ETF financialized Bitcoiner guys, I want to be very clear, you guys are the Trojans that are bringing the horse into Troy. And so, you get to get rich and celebrate that you guys won the Trojan War, bringing the horse in. And I'm going to tell you, we are absolutely going to come out of that horse and fuck you guys up, because fiat money is dying. It is in its death spiral right now. And when the horse gets into Troy and it gets integrated into the financial system, that's when all hell breaks loose, because that's when we will experience hyperinflation. That's when everyone will realize that Bitcoin is the tool that gets you out. And that's when the whole system unravels. And that's when your ETF Bitcoin becomes the property of the government. That's when your Bitcoin on exchange gets 6102'd. And that shit will fucking happen. And people should be prepared and understand that this is the irony that I think that essentially cypherpunk crypto anarchists came in and made a deal with the capitalist status and said, hey, what if we can actually make you way fucking richer than this system ever could? All you have to do is join us with Bitcoin. And they're like, yeah, let's bring the horse into Troy. It'll be great. We'll fucking win the war. And it's like, yeah, you'll win the war, all right. But we'll watch what's going to happen the next morning after the big party of celebration, and you guys are all shit-faced, drunk, and hungover, because we're going to pop out of that horse, and it's going to be time for shit to hit the fan. So that's my warning, and I really hope that people will be considerate towards it, because the other one is that there's a real opportunity here to create a new and beautiful and wonderful future that provides profound amounts of freedom and liberty to our children that we never got to experience. And it's not just for our children, but it's for their children and their children and for everyone who comes after that. And to me, this is why, I have an article in my book called Messianic Bitcoin of that, this opens humanity up to a totally new form of life where the money problem is set aside. There is no longer the ability for governments to make money that they can then go run deficits to have wars. And frankly, I find it sickening and deplorable how irresponsible most people have been about the fact that our money actually kills other people. And so if you have never visited a war zone somewhere like Cambodia, it's really important for you to understand that the money that goes into the military-industrial complex does go out and hurt real human beings, that if you sat down with them and had a coffee or a tea, you would realize that there are real people that also want peace and love and happiness, and they don't want to hurt anyone else. They just happen to be on the wrong side of the fucking conflict, and they get hurt because of it. And you have a real ethical responsibility to look at that in a meaningful and thoughtful way, to consider what it means that we are all forced into this really fucked up paradigm of fiat money that makes us participate in that cruelty. So I hope that people will consider that.
Yeah. No, that's very well said. I I want to just echo my agreement with it, but I don't really have that much more to add to it. There's this blanking out of the consequences of war because they're happening out of sight for you. And all you see is TV images of flares shooting up and explosions of fire, but you're not seeing the human damage, the human suffering, and the willingness to go into war after war after war because it doesn't seem to cost you anything is a double error, right? It's like, and it's a deep, deep error because you're fortifying yourself, you're closing yourself off to real horror and letting real horror take place in the world. And you're getting poorer in the process, even though you don't see exactly how you're getting poorer in the process. So you're becoming less human, and you're living a worse life as a worse person because
and you're allowing for that the fiatism of the world to overcome you. Like, this is all authoritarianism. Like, it's not actually connected to truth in a meaningful way. And digging at that is really important. And
well, this is like, I'm going to make a bold statement here, which is, in the whole history of the world, Bitcoin may be the most important technology to advance freedom and keep it advanced. Like, we've had revolutions for the sake of freedom, the American Revolution being the most famous example, and the freedom has become eroded. Right? If you brought the fathers of the Constitution, the fathers of America, back, and they looked at what was going on today, how much taxation people were accepting, how much war, how much violence, how much control of their everyday decisions people were confronted with, they'd say, this looks nothing like the nation that we founded, even though the Constitution is there and there's courts and everything. Everything has become corporatized, bureaucratized, regulated. So they would say, well, we've lost America and there hasn't been a subsequent revolution. But Bitcoin is this form of revolution that takes back the power, takes the teeth out of the government, and allows us to live our own lives freely and independently again. But we need to be aware that we can. We need to understand what it means to live freely, and we need to then embrace doing so rather than surrendering our freedom to someone who says they'll take care of us and yet is abusive towards us, right? There's this, the Stockholm syndrome of living in a Western liberal democracy is very prevalent. Once you see it, you see how much you surrender to obey the rules and obey the laws and obey everything that's told, that you're told to do. And the more, the deeper you look, the more you realize. No, go ahead.
I just want to tail end on it's really important to understand, like, the American Revolution wasn't this like localized geographical thing that stuck to America. Like, this had a profound impact and influence throughout the entire world. And like, it's really important to understand that the author of the Declaration of Independence, Thomas Jefferson, he also wrote the fucking Declaration of the Rights of Man in France. Yes. Like, this was a global thing where all people everywhere realized, hey, like, this monarchy thing is bullshit. We actually need to have a say in our forms of life and how we are governed. And we're on the precipice of that same revolution once again, where people realize what true power is for themselves. And this is sort of what I was talking about democracy earlier. Is to me, the political is the radical collective action that all people everywhere always have access to choose to form new modules in how they get to live their lives. And through us not only embracing Bitcoin, but all of the technological stack that's behind Bitcoin, and now Nostr too. And in some ways, I've been hearing more and more from OG Bitcoiners who are getting into Nostr that, like, this gives them a lot of the same feelings that Bitcoin had early on, because now that we have a decentralized social media platform, we can speak truth to power. Like, I just wrote a piece saying, fuck voting. And if I posted that shit on Instagram or Twitter, my ass would be banned immediately. But it is out there freely for everyone to go and see and read. And that's profoundly important, because now there's a real ability for us to stand up and speak our truth to power and not be censored. And the censorship is so profound, overwhelming, and powerful at this point in time that most of us don't realize how deep we are in a propaganda hole that is constantly pushing and manipulating us in ways where, if we actually had a clear playing field that wasn't manipulated, that Nostr offers, there's an opportunity to have a real conversation to say, hey, our form of politics has absolutely failed us. It will continue to fail us. And there's no one that can be elected that can make a difference. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm loving a lot of the shit Trump is saying. And I also know that there was 4 years that Trump was in power that you know, he didn't start any new wars, and I was relatively happy with what he did, but it was not the profound revolutionary shift that we need to see happen if we are actually to save what our form of life means as, you know, for me personally as an American. And I deeply, deeply believe in our American values, not because of, you know, the patriotism that's involved with that, but like, people have a right to the freedom of speech. People have a right to bear arms to protect themselves. People have a right for governments not to have rogue seizures of their information. That, you know, like, these are real rights that our forebears fought for. And that, but, you know, King George III was like, fuck that shit. You're like, you people shouldn't have any of that. And yet, because of the powerful 3% of the American population that chose to stand up and said, we will struggle for what we believe in, they birthed an entire new world that allowed for 250 years of development that profoundly changed the trajectory of humanity. And we can do that again, so that in 250 years, people will be speaking about what we built here today and will honor and cherish us. And that was something in a conversation I had recently that came up, was realizing that what we're building here are the two true revolutionary tools of freedom that will far outlive us and will actually allow for us to access touching history in a meaningful way, so that our great-grandchildren will go, yeah, my great-grandpa, he actually participated in that and helped contribute to that. And I'm hugely proud of what he did. Yeah. And for me, like, I know I'm going to die. Go ahead.
No,
We keep doing that. I'm sorry.
We're having a delay. Sorry. I'll make my point. I think people in the future will look back at this time and say, how did people ever live with fiat money? It was so barbaric. It was so primitive. Right? It was like people printed a small cabal of people could print pieces of paper and tell other people what those pieces of paper were worth, and they could print an unlimited amount. Like, how could that have possibly ever worked? And no, it didn't work. It eventually destroyed itself, and lots of people suffered miserably in the process and didn't get to live their lives fully. They toiled away as wage slaves for their entire lives, lived milquetoast lives that weren't full of passion and excitement and personal choice. And that was what ended up happening under this system. So our posterity will really, really appreciate the effort that was gone through. And Satoshi will be remembered as this great inventor. And the early Bitcoiners will be seen as the people who helped bring about this resurgence of freedom, this reactivation of freedom, and not just a reactivation of it to prior levels, but to an unprecedented level where people will really be able to have their own freedom of choice. I mean, this for me was when I made the movie Bitcoin is Generational Wealth and took that leap into the future and said, what will the future be like? I really wanted to describe not just, oh, people have freedom of speech and people have the right to bear arms. It's like the effects of people being protected by this is that it's a time of peace, a time of love, a time of self-actualization. And those higher values are protected and preserved because the things that have destroyed them can't get a foothold, and they can't seize the money. They can't wage perpetual war. They don't have an incentive to try to seize the money and try to divide us against one another so that they can get power, because the power is decentralized. It's distributed across billions and billions of people who can't consolidate their power to harm other people. Right? Like you and me and Michael Saylor can't get together to steal somebody else's Bitcoin. And no matter how small they are, right? That's the beauty of Bitcoin. It gives the power back. You know, everyone's got equal rights within it, and nobody can violate anybody else's rights. That's so different than having a piece of paper that says everyone's got equal rights. And then, you know, there's 300 million lawyers, there's like 10 million lawyers and courts and all these institutions and enforcement agencies that try to push the limits and see what they can get away with in violating people's rights. So, you know, Bitcoin's a system where you can't break the rules. Our current system is a system where you're supposed to be punished if you're caught breaking the rules, and people get to make up more rules as they go along all the time. And that's what elections are presented as being all about. I'm going to make rules that make life better for you and make life worse for somebody else. Right. And look, how about we just have a just set of rules, and ideally, nobody can break them. And holy cow, this thing has been invented. Look, Bitcoin is a system of unbreakable rules with no rulers. right? Like, wow, that's amazing. And maybe that kind of this one other one I want to make. If I use the word anarchy, so many people think, oh, that means bedlam and chaos. And the word just means no rulers, right? Monarchy is one ruler, a king or the queen. Anarchy is no rulers. And you'd say, how can it work? And then you take a look at Bitcoin and you say, here's a system that has no rulers. And it does have rules. And the rules can't be broken by any of the participants in the system. So it's our first instantiation of a system that fits the description of anarchy that you can look at and you can say, this is really just, this is fair, this gives everyone equal opportunities and freedom. And so it's an extraordinary achievement. It doesn't solve every problem that we have. We may need democracy and we may need some other kind of systems for certain other parts of our civilization, but for the money and for the idea of property rights, it is highly, highly effective and better than anything we've ever seen before. And I think that's where it then creates the opportunity to experience freedom like we've never seen before.
Absolutely. And to me, like this is the true actualization of the ideal of what law itself is supposed to be. You know, like the exceptionalism that we find in modern forms of law and the juridification that you talked about with the lawyering and the constant pushing the boundaries, like this is now banished. And like now we're talking about like, it is no longer about the possibilities of how those exceptions get actualized. They simply do not exist in this system. And that achieves the truest form of property rights that there have ever been. And that is the most meaningful thing when we live in a world that has been entirely captured economically by making sure that all money, all property, all things find themselves under the purview of the state itself. And the thing I want to highlight the most important is that within those property rights, like your body itself, your physical form is captured within that. And so even though like our bodies can be subjugated to this, our Bitcoin cannot be subjugated to that. And that's why, you know, using collaborative custody, making sure that you own your private keys. And frankly, I'm a huge fan of multisig. That's one of the reasons why I helped build out Unchained Capital, is because when I was looking at joining another company after Coinbase and I saw what they had built, I was like, collaborative custody is the key. Like, this is the thing that allows for us to make sure that even if the clamps come down on me, they can't have my Bitcoin. And that's profoundly important in this world. And one of the other things I just wanted to speak to is like, this can be pretty overwhelming and intimidating, particularly for like really normal people that are like, I'm not a developer, I'm not a crypto guy. Like I love Bitcoin, but like, what do I do here? And I really want to emphasize, because this was told to me last night, is like, I'm not a dev either. Like I've worked at a number of tech companies. I can do agile development in terms of telling people what needs to be built and how workflows work. But like, I'm not a dev. I'm an author and a philosopher, I guess. People have called me a philosopher. I insist I'm not. Maybe I'm a thinker at best. But it was told to me, like, look, the work that I'm doing is profoundly important and influences people just like how I feel about your work, Tomer. And so I want to emphasize to everybody that, like, you have a real role here. And even if your role is to go convince your family and friends that Bitcoin is important, or if it's to offer your services for Bitcoin, like, these all legitimize us in new and profound ways that make sure that we all get to participate in a meaningful way, in the exact same way that the American Revolution, it was not fought single-handedly by George Washington and the founding fathers. This was a gigantic collective movement where everybody felt the same zeitgeist and they participated in it in a meaningful way. And so I really want to welcome everyone that is listening. You have a substantial role in Bitcoin if you lean into it and take that leap into the unknown. And I want to really empathize with that. It's fucking scary, but when you make that leap, you're going to find there are other people here that you will have the most profound and connecting conversations that you've ever had with. And I think about when I was in Madeira this last year, there was about a dozen of us late at night, all sitting together, talking about philosophy and just digging into it. And I felt more alive than I've ever felt in my life. And I remember just having the thought of, I was like, God damn, or God bless, like I've waited my entire life to feel connected in this way with other people and to feel cared about in this way. And I want to welcome everyone that like that's waiting for you, but you have to make the decision to leap into this and to shed yourself of fiat you, to welcome yourself into the new, more profound, truthful version of you that's waiting for you to become that. And for me, it's been a 10-year process of shedding layers and layers of myself and allowing for new layers to be built up. And the only way that I had access to that was through conversations like this with you, Tomer, and with others where they go, yeah, this is all real. It's all true. It's all profound. And your contributions and thoughts in this space are meaningful. And so whether you're a writer or an artist or whoever and however you contribute, please come join us. There's something profound to be shared by all of us here. And I really want to let you know that I celebrate you for taking that risk and choosing to lean into crazy magic internet money world, as opposed to believing that false fiat world is going to deliver you the truth that you're desiring so much.
Yeah. So I think we've thrown down the gauntlet here for anyone who's actually listened to this whole thing and is on the fence to say, like, you've actually got a choice. You don't have to jump all into the deep end right away, but surrender yourself towards the calling of discovering who you truly are, living a purely honest life, and using Bitcoin as a tool to help you get there, rather than continue to live in fear, continue to live in compliance with things that you know deep down inside are immoral and wrong and aren't going to serve you even either, right? So take your time, but go in the right direction. And there's, I think what is so advantageous about this moment is you're still really early to Bitcoin. There's lots to contribute, but you're not so early that you have to discover everything on your own. Eric's got a book. I've got a book. We've got videos. There's lots of other people who've written stuff. And if you open yourself to, if you redirect yourself from the, here's why Bitcoin's going up to 1 million or 13 million or 2 million or whatever, to here's how Bitcoin helps you self-actualize and how it brings justice about in the world for you and for others, you'll discover more about Bitcoin than staring at the price and expecting to get rich and thinking what you might do in a fiat world with Bitcoin that's worth a lot of fiat money. There's something that's much more valuable. There's one very short article I wrote that I'll reference now, and then I'm done for today. It's called Rich or Poor, Bitcoiners Have What Money Can't Buy. And in it, it talks about this process of becoming a Bitcoiner, all the research you have to do, the risks you have to take, the people you have to meet and talk to. And I point out whether you're rich or poor at the end of that, you have integrity, you have friendships, you have love, you have intelligence that you had to work to develop, because these things come through proof of work. And that's the process of becoming a Bitcoiner. So even just studying and understanding Bitcoin and everything that is necessary to understand to see why it works gives you a wealth, not measured in dollars, not even measured in Bitcoin, but that's very real and is qualified. It is a quality, not a quantity. That's my speech for today.
Fuck yeah. Well, and so we're at an hour, so I think we'll kind of wrap this up. Before we wrap up, I want to thank our sponsors. No one, because fuck having sponsors. Like, these are just profound conversations that I think are really meaningful and important. And I don't want to sully it with trying to like take money or pitch any kind of bullshit to you guys. And I think it's really important. If you listen to this and you like it, please share it with other people. Please comment. I'm going to post it on Noster. Me and Tomer are going to try to keep doing this kind of consistently, because we just found we kept having conversations and we're like, other people would probably get value out of this. So if you got something to say, please make a comment, please share with others. If you like it, zap me, zap him. And I have much love for you, Tomer. I greatly appreciate all of our conversations and all that we share. And I hope that we'll continue Spirit of Satoshi. Maybe we'll have guests, maybe we don't. We're keeping this really fucking loose because I just keep finding I have profound conversations that seem to be meaningful and people want to hear more about. And so with that being said, please comment, please share. And Tomer, do you have any final notes for kind of wrapping up?
No, you know what? I am in complete agreement with everything that you said, Eric. And so we'll just leave it at that.
All right. Well, with that, this was our first Spirit of Satoshi podcast. Thanks for listening. All right.